now accepting Anthem Blue Cross, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome to Free Fire Radio. And now, Free Fire Radio
is about to commence.
And good morning, North State. This is KCNR 1460 AM, your community radio station. This is Trish Clark. I'm joined here this morning with my co-host, Ken Murray.
Good morning, Trish.
Good morning, Ken. And if you'd like to get in on this conversation, you can jump into the chat room at KCNR1460.com or give us a call at 605-4567. We are joined here this morning with a guest, Brian Crane. He'll be telling us all about the roads in the city of Reading. And we're going to go first to Josh Wiley at Wells Fargo Advisors. Good morning, Josh.
Good morning. Well, markets look to be taking a bit of a breather this morning. Currently, the Dow's down a fraction of a point at 16,918, while the NASDAQ's down 6 at 4,521, and the S&P 500's down 1 at 1,980. Oil's up $1.27 a barrel at $95.75, while the 30-year Treasury's yielding 3.23%. Gold's up 50 cents this morning at $1,297, while silver's up 13 cents at $19.54 an ounce. Some of our most actively traded stocks this morning, GE's up 15 cents at $26.20, Home Depot's up $1.28 at $89.50, while J.P. Morgan's up 2 dimes at $57.76. Well, that's the market for now. This is Josh Wiley at the Reading office of Wells Fargo Advisors for KCNR.
And thank you very much, Josh. Listen for the Wells Fargo Market Minute weekday mornings at 7:10, 8:10, and 9:05 here on KCNR. Brought to you by Wells Fargo Advisors on Park Marina Drive in Reading. Call them at 243-7561. Checking the weather, sunny, a high near 90 today. A little bit, quite a break from last week. Mostly clear tonight, the low around the mid-60s. Sunny tomorrow and a high near 93 right now in Reading. We have about 65 degrees. The report brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. It's cool to be a Shasta Gas customer. They offer senior and veterans discounts. Give them a call at 365-3793 Shasta Gas Propane. And now we can turn the microphones back on in the control room and turn it back over to Trish and Ken.
Good morning again, and we're awfully glad to have you joining us this morning. As you know, Carl and Linda are off on a cruise, and so it's Thursday all week. I'm here every day this week with Ken Murray, and we are joined this morning by Brian Crane, and he is the City of Reading Public Works Director.
So that means he's in charge of stormwater, streets, sewer, water. What else?
And all other duties as assigned.
And we are the city's engineer also.
Oh, engineering.
Reading Area Bus Authority.
Is his mic on?
Yeah, you just need to talk louder.
Okay. Oh, there you are. There you go. Get in front of it. Oh, and the Reading Area Bus Authority.
Oh, RABA. Well, I had many years in that seat as chair of RABA.
Well, you want to start off controversial, or shall we ease into it?
Let's hit RABA first. How's RABA doing?
RABA's doing well. We just finished a short-range transit plan looking at the next 5 years. Over the last couple of years, our ridership has been up. We are up.
What kind of fare box ratio are we
operating
with?
We're at 17.5%, so up a couple percent probably from when you were there. So We are doing better than we were a couple years ago.
So that means we're only subsidizing at 83%.
That's correct.
Well, that brings me to one of my pet peeves, which is semi-controversial, and maybe you don't want to address, which is okay. What's the total backlog of maintenance for city streets in the city of Reading in dollars?
It's about $30 million in backlog.
Okay.
Every 2 years, we do an inventory of our streets, and our pavement condition index is right about 55. The statewide average is 66, so we're a little bit behind the curve. But everyone is below where they'd like to be. 80 is probably the standard.
$30 million behind.
Correct.
At least.
Yes.
And for years in Reading, we didn't have a bus service. And in fact, the only reason we have a bus service is the continual lobbying of one particular woman. What? Not you.
No. Oh, no, no. Absolutely not me. Well, that's a given.
But in any event, she's passed on now. Wonderful lady. In any event, the law says that on a subsidized bus system like we have, we're supposed to have a 20% fare box ratio. 20% fare box ratio, that means that for every 20 cents the riders pay, they are subsidized the other 80%, right? Essentially.
Essentially, the law doesn't say 20%. The law actually says 15%, so we can go as low as 15% before we have to make changes.
Okay, but the goal is to have a 20% fare box ratio under the law. Now, City of Reading doesn't have to have a bus system. They absolutely do not have to have one.
And if they have one, they have to meet any need that is reasonable to meet.
That's the key, is that there is Transportation Development Act money that does come to Shasta County, basically, and the intent is for that money to be used for transit first and meet those unmet needs. So there is a process to meet all the unmet needs.
That are reasonable to meet.
Unless you can demonstrate it is unreasonable to meet them.
Correct.
And the City of Reading has met the unreasonableness standard virtually the entire time that we've subsidized RABA. And in fact, there have been proposals from time to time to do different things to RABA. I can think of several years ago when I was on the council, we decided we're going to have a marketing campaign. Maybe just people didn't know what the buses were all about, and that's when the big blue bus thing came along. But the point I want to make is the city is spending $4 million a year on RABA. $4 million a year on RABA that would otherwise be spent on streets and street maintenance. All we got to do to solve this $30 million backlog is get rid of all the buses. Okay? Yes, it's going to inconvenience a few hundred people, but on the other hand, the 90,000 of us that live here will get to drive on pothole-free nice streets. This is not a popular idea because everybody says, well, what about the poor, this, that, and the other thing? But government means making hard choices. What do you want more, buses or good streets? And that's not a question I'm asking of you, Brian Crane, but it is something I'm doing to stir the telephones at 605-4567.
And I think that'll probably do it. And, you know, my issue has always been in areas where they have successful transportation and people use it, they don't also have requirements with every building that you build that you have to have X number of parking places so that all the cars can have a place to park every time they want to go someplace. In order to get people to ride public transportation, it has to be more convenient for them to ride the bus than it is to take their personal car and park it someplace.
We just don't have the population density.
We do not, and we're too spread out. I remember a time during my term as chairman of RABA where we actually ran a bus up to Shingletown.
Yeah.
And it was costing us enough money that we could have purchased a car and given them gas for a year for the five people that were riding it.
All right. I want to go to a different topic You cover a lot of things. I have a question that's just been burning in me for several years. I notice that you're using a different paint for white lines in the streets. Because when I drive over them, they make a sound and it doesn't. I've had different kinds of tires. And I can hear the sound of the white lines. And 20 years ago, I drove over a white line and I couldn't hear anything. What are you doing different with the white lines in the streets?
Wow, the white lines, huh? Probably the difference is we're putting a thermoplastic stripe down as opposed to just paint. And paint you're not going to feel. Thermoplastic you are. But the life cycle of thermoplastic is much greater. Plus the reflectivity, so a much safer, much longer-lasting stripe.
So now I know why I hear a noise every time I drive across a white line.
You know, one of the issues I think is on everybody's mind right now is what we're doing with Market Street and California Street. I know that they had, you know, I mean, the big lane on that isn't a driving lane anymore. Is that seriously a bike lane?
Well, again,
I mean, that big, big lane on the left-hand side.
Now, keep in mind, Trish, that's a state highway.
Yeah.
That's not Brian Crane's problem.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
California Street and Pine Street, the paving going on downtown, is a Caltrans project, but that doesn't mean we're not involved. You know, we've been working with Caltrans on that. On California Street, what they are doing is they're taking California Street from three lanes down to two lanes, and on the right side they'll put a bike lane with a buffer so that the bike lane will be protected from the people getting out of their cars and what we call the door zone.
Before we go on with any more of this, because we got lots of questions here, we're going to take a break and we'll be right back.
Your everlasting summer, you can see it fading fast. So you grab a piece of something that you think is going to last.
I left my heart in San Francisco.
Is there anything better than an authentic San Francisco-style deli sandwich? Well, if you live in Redding, but your heart's in the city by the bay, San Francisco Deli has got what you're craving. Try the North Beach, hot Italian sausage with Parmesan and marinara on a fresh-baked sourdough roll. Or how about the famous Mamma Mia with salami, mortadella, capricola, provolone, and all the good veggies? San Francisco Deli's been serving Redding since 1977. And whether it's the Giants or the Colt 45s, the folks at San Francisco Deli love supporting their baseball. Head on in, 2395 Athens Avenue, San Francisco Deli.
The Canadian Forces Snowbirds Jet Demo Team and a Canadian F-18 roar into town to headline the Exchange Club of Redding's Air Show 2014 at the Redding Municipal Airport. Saturday, September 27th and Sunday, September 28th. The jets are joined by a T-33 Korean War jet and from World War II, a P-38 Lightning, DAV-25 Bomber, Navy Hellcat, Japanese Zero, and AT-6. Thrill to Julie Clark in her Juice Plus Smokin' Mentor and Jackie Warda in her Extra 300. Veteran Salute, vintage car show, and more. Gates open 8 a.m. Adults $12 pre-sale, $17 at the gate. Children 6 to 11, $5. General admission tickets on sale at Rayleigh's in Redding, Red Bluff, and Chico. Flight deck tickets available at www.readingairshow.org. That's www.readingairshow.org. Sponsors include Fox 20, Frozen Gourmet, Hempstead's Moving, KHSL, KLXR, KNVN, KRCR, and Matson ISOM.
Hello, Frank Muse with Northern Lights Energy. Thanks to everybody who helped out with the junior livestock sale. Meantime, back at the salt mine, we're filling propane bottles, one right after another. That keeps Gary hopping. Robin in Corning is very busy with all the farmers and ranchers, so stop in and say hi. She loves our customers. In Weaverville, stop and see Diana. She is selling a lot of red and clear diesel and can fill your motorhomes and barbecue bottles. In Redding, we got another truckload of ethanol-free 93 and race car fuel. If you're one of us that's been blessed with new diesel trucks or pickups that take DEF urea fluid, give us a call. We have small jugs and big totes and can save you money. Johnny's back from cattle college, so if you're thinking of upgrading your heater, now's the time. Give him a call and talk about the new or used heater. Northern Lights Energy, small business, family owned. 241-2196. Thanks a lot.
You're listening to KCNR 1460 Free Fire Radio.
/19 and this portion of Free Fire Radio brought to you by Orchard Nutrition, the North State's nutrition experts, with the largest selection of natural foods and supplements in Northern California. In-store deli, four nutritionists on staff to assist you, classes on health and diet and raw and organic food. Just some of the reasons to shop Orchard Nutrition in the Cypress Square Shopping Center. Give them a call at 244-9141. Orchard Nutrition, your center for a healthy lifestyle.
And welcome back. We are your community radio station. This is Trish Clark. I'm joined by co-host Ken Murray, and we're interviewing Brian Crane from the City of Reading Public Works Department today. We've got a question, burning question about roads in Reading. You can give us a call at 605-4567. If you want to yell at Ken about the bus system, you can do that too, and jump into the chat room at KCNR1460.com.
All right. What's the phone number to call for potholes?
Well, our phone number at the courtyard is 224-6068, but I'd encourage people to, if they are savvy with their smartphones, to use YourGov, and it's an application where they can, through the City of Reading, submit a concern with not only potholes, but also with our water system, wastewater system, or otherwise, or then go to readingutilities.com, and there's links there for how to get in contact with us.
Okay, so if I went on the City of Reading website, I would check on Public Works.
You could check on Public Works, but you could, again, just readingutilities.com,
okay,
and you're there.
And I can complain about a pothole.
You can complain about a pothole.
Or I can make a suggestion on how you can save water because you have a broken fountain someplace or something.
That's right? Correct, yes.
Okay.
Okay, we're going to go to the phones, and we're going to talk with Kay.
Hi, Trish and Ken and Brian.
Good morning, Kay.
I'm glad that you have Brian on today, but maybe I do need to talk to somebody from Caltrans. Because my question is about Gold and Market Street, where you turn into Market Street from Gold. And the left-hand lane has a straight arrow. It doesn't have a curve so that both the left and the right lanes can turn. Yet the signs overhead say that from that lane you can go straight and turn. So I'm wondering what is the deal there?
Well, Caltrans is currently paving California Street as it turns onto Gold Street.
Uh-huh.
So they are changing the lane configuration. They are changing the signing there. But they just finished the pavement now. The striping down there is temporary. The signing down there is temporary. Give them a few weeks, and that will all be sorted out.
Because that one, well, what should, it's not on California Street, it's where Gold goes into Market Street, where you turn.
Right
there.
Right.
And so right now, the way the road is striped, you can only turn from the left lane into Market Street.
Okay.
Going south.
But as Brian just said, they just finished the paving, they're doing the striping, they're going to do the signage, it just isn't done yet, it isn't complete.
So which has priority, the striping or the signage?
Well, they'll both match up, so they will be consistent with each other.
So what does she do right now?
But right now, do I get a ticket if I make a left-hand turn onto Market Street going south?
I don't believe so, no.
Okay, Kay?
Okay. Yeah, I do, and I would say that I like California Street the way they've done it better than I thought I would.
Yeah, you can have a court in the bike lane. You can have a bike with two guys on horses for outriders and still not be in the traffic lane.
Or you could have a lemonade.
It's really roomy. Thanks, Kate.
All right. Well, I read in the newspaper and I finally got this math to figure out that 71 billion gallons are being lost through rotten pipes in the Santa Clara Valley area. 71 billion gallons is, I just calculated this, 263,000 acre feet. 263,000 acre feet is enough water for 426,000 homes. They're leaking. Why does that become my problem as a taxpayer of the state of California? I mean, the way the system is set up, as I understand it, cities have enterprise funds. You charge a water rate, and part of the rate includes reserves for future maintenance, or it should if it's a well-run utility business. Am I correct in that?
Definitely, yes.
Okay. So if if the Santa Clara Valley communities are undercharging for what they need to charge to maintain their system, how is it state taxpayers' responsibility to fix it?
Well, I'm not so sure it is. I mean, I haven't dug into those details, but Santa Clara County, like many areas, that is a problem with not just your roads, but also your pipes in the water system, that your infrastructure is old and aging, and we have problems with our pipes up here also. But we aren't looking to the state of California to fix it. There isn't a good funding source. We can get loans, but we can't actually expect the state to fix it.
But the users should be paying for it, should they not?
Correct.
Don't you rate base system deterioration for future replacement?
Exactly. We just went through a process last year and updated our rates, and that was a big part of it. It wasn't expansion. It was fixing up what's old, and a lot of our water mains in the street are reaching that time where they need to be replaced. We've had some problems with breakage like we did last year, mm-hmm. earlier in the year on Shasta and Magnolia.
Right.
So that is a problem with not just our pipes, but also our treatment plant.
I was going to ask you about that. How many more of these time bombs do you have sitting under the pavement? Because it not only was a huge, I mean, the city had to put those people up for how long in hotels and stuff?
I don't know how long, but a few weeks.
Yeah.
And it's certainly problematic. We'd like to know how many time bombs we have under there, but that's part of the problem. We do have old pipes. We have an aggressive plan to replace the pipes, and we're getting ahead of the curve. We have funding in place to help do that, but it still is a problem, not just here, but everywhere.
I want to hammer this home. It is rate-based. So if your water rate goes up, it isn't just because of the cost of water. It is also because of the cost of maintenance of the delivery system. And you don't know when they're going to break. And I assume you don't go out and replace a pipe before it bursts. Or maybe you do. I don't know.
And it's not just the distribution system. It's also where we treat it and where we pull it out of the river. We have a pump house right along the Sacramento River, right along the river trail, that was built in 1937. It's old. The pumps are up out of the water when Lake Redding comes up and down. We're cavitating those pumps. We've got a problem there also, and up at the treatment plant. So it is old infrastructure, and we do have plans to fix that up and replace it.
Which makes me think of one thing else. Because both departments are under your supervision. You guys go out here and dig a trench to replace a pipe in the middle of a city street.
Always just right after they fix the street.
Right. And then you come back in and pave, and the paving is lousy because I drive over it. I mean, there's a bump, bump driving across. I mean, why can't they smooth those things out?
Let me follow up on that, because whenever I ask that question in the unincorporated area, I always got the PG&E thing. Well, they won't work with us to time their what they're doing, or the Pac Bell. You know, the phone companies and the utility companies won't work with us when we're doing our road projects. You have a hard time making that argument because you are the guy. You do it all, so why don't you do it all?
I want to know which one of your hands you're going to blame.
Well, I will say that the project going on downtown right now on Trinity and in that area, that we time that well. We have our project coming in. Caltrans is paving just after it, so we did cross the state highway in a number of different locations, and we beat them in. They paved over the top of it, so very nice. But that is a very difficult operation. Trench four-year pipe and try and pave back and make those edges smooth. You should, if you had enough money, you'd overlay the whole roadway. But as we learned earlier, we don't have the funding to meet our pavement needs in the city. We do the best we can, and we do time it where we can.
Okay. You know, one of the questions I always ask was, when you were paving a road, why you couldn't, if you had, you're in an area where it just needs to be a little wider, why can't you just, you know, and people would always ask the question. I had that intricately brought home to me that you just can't put another 2 or 3 inches because it'll just fall off and you need the base underneath. And besides which, there's a lot of extra money in every little inch of road that you put out there.
not only the capital cost initially, but also ultimately to rehabilitate it and keep it in good working condition.
Okay.
And it's not just the base next to it; it's also the backing to the side of it to keep it in good position.
We just did some kind of road maintenance on North Court Street, because I know that because that's where my office is. And I was driving on a paved street. Now I'm driving on a gravel road. What's with that?
Well, that's just the first layer. Okay, we are putting down what's called a cape seal in that location. And part of the reason we're putting cape seals is we're trying to stretch our dollars. You put an asphalt concrete overlay, and it's $20 a square yard. You put a cape seal down, it's $5 a square yard. So much different cost ratio. And the lifetime of it isn't too much difference. But a cape seal is a two-layer system. You put down basically larger rock and oil that's really your structural section. Then you put down sand and oil over the top, which is your wearing surface. And so they haven't yet put that wearing surface down. It will be smoother. It won't be as smooth as asphalt concrete, but it'll do a very good job.
Well, if it's cheaper, I love it.
Okay, so we're going to take a break, and we'll come back. And remember, if you'd like to get in on this conversation, 605-4567. We'll be right back.
Well, maybe me went out late Saturday night. I had my hair piled tight and the baby just looks so right.
Hi, this is Dr. Ed at North State Nerve and Spine Institute. Every week I get patients to say, "Doc, I can't live with this foot and leg pain." Raymond Miner is a classic example. He lives in Alturas. He was in serious trouble. His feet and hands were burning at night, making sleep almost impossible. His balance was affected, and now he was using a walker. We introduced Raymond to a new form of treatment called analgesic stim, used successfully in Europe for over 20 years, available only at North State Nerve and Spine Institute. Within a few treatments, Raymond began to feel better and threw away his walker. If you're suffering from pain, tingling, numbness, or stabbing pain in your hands or feet caused by peripheral neuropathy, take advantage of our free 7-point quality assessment to see if you are a candidate for this new life-saving treatment. In Reading, call 530-302-3555.
At Shasta Regional Medical Center, we're usually too busy taking care of our patients to boast about our accomplishments. But when you're the only hospital in the North State ranked as a 100 top hospital in the nation 2 years in a row, and your emergency department is the only one in the region recognized as the certified chest pain center, well, it was hard to keep our pride from showing. Shasta Regional Medical Center. You don't have to be the biggest to be the best.
Have you found yourself stranded with a dead battery and need a jump? Instead of calling that expensive tow truck, call Redding Yellow Cab, and we'll do it for only $20. Running 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every day of the year, Redding Yellow Cab will cater to the needs of your parents, seniors, or children who need to travel throughout the city and county, no matter the hour. Call Redding Yellow Cab, and we will do your shopping, give rides to the hospital, airport, hotel, and many other destinations. Call us at 222-1234.
A few years back, a state agency called regarding a large shipment of new cars that had a steering problem. Don Steck for Coachmaster Collision Repair. They informed me shops all over California had looked at them, but no one could recommend a solution. The problem was, one front wheel turned quicker and farther than the other, causing erratic steering. Front wheels should turn together. Our inspection revealed a major steering component was incorrectly mounted from the factory. We fabricated a gauge to demonstrate the difference in travel from side to side, while a state supervisor observed. Then we relocated the steering component as indicated by our gauge. A test drive by the supervisor proved excellent. He had only one question. How long will it take to do 1,200 cars? Coachmaster, Collision Repair, Redding, California. 45 years in business and loving every minute of it.
This is KCNR, the home of Free Fire Media.
Yeah. 734 KCNR 1460. This portion of the show brought to you by Northern Firearms Instruction. Ted Leidy and his team of professional NRA instructors providing the most complete CCW training in Northern California. For a limited time, NFI will provide a free firearm rental and ammunition for Shasta County residents who take a basic CCW course. Register online at readingccw.com or call NFI at 999-1822.
It's 65 degrees in downtown Reading, and we are broadcasting live from KCNR1460.com. You can give us a call at 605-4567.
How do you know how many degrees it is? I'm looking around this studio, and I don't see anything that tells me.
He changes it up on the wall.
Where? Oh.
Okay.
It's 65 degrees on the chalkboard. I don't know how much it is outside.
Well, that he gets... Ken, it works. Trust me. And we're joined here with Brian Crane this morning. He's from the City of Reading Public Works Department, which does other things besides roads. And now we're going to talk about water.
I understand you're suffering from water thefts. Who are these dastardly criminals?
Well, if we knew who we were, we'd be out catching them, but we don't. But
how do they steal it?
Back up a water truck, unhook a hydrant, and fill their water truck up. Or when their neighbors are out on vacation, hooking into their system and taking water, all the above.
Do you know, I had a friend when I lived in San Jose, I had forgot about that. And he had a big place. And he did not realize that the guy next to him had hooked up to his system years before that. And had been watering his entire house and yard. And they were all hooked together. He shut his water off for some reason because he was replacing a bunch of stuff. And his water bill was still going on. So he had somebody come out and investigate it. And this great house next door had been hooked to him free. I thought that was a marvelous story.
Okay. With the drought conditions in California, I know you've been staying up nights trying to figure out what you were going to do within the city of Reading. I know that because your boss told me so. And I'm wondering just what draconian measures are now in place. How is it going to get worse? And who are the water cops? What are the fines? Tell me all about that.
Well, State Water Resources Control Board a few weeks ago implemented statewide regulations requiring that there are four restrictions basically that any citizen cannot do, not just City of Reading customers, but also anybody. You can't overwater your lawn to a point where it's running off the roadway. You can't wash your car without a nozzle. You can't have a water feature like a fountain without a recirculation device, and you can't be out hosing off your concrete, your driveway, and your sidewalk. Those are all restrictions that we've adopted into our ordinance, but also what the state board required is that you implement the first phase of your mandatory drought management plan. Our first phase wasn't implementable. Really, it required us to cut back 25% based on previous uses, and we couldn't do that. The board says, well, if you can't implement your first phase, do something similar to cutting back to only 2 days a week. We felt 2 days a week was too much, so what we presented to council was a plan to cut back water use to 3 days a week and the watering time between 10 p.m. and 7 a.m. in the morning. So the people of Reading, if you're an even address, you water Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. Those are your 3 days, and you get to water between 10 p.m. and 7 a.m. in the morning. And then the odd addresses get Wednesday, Friday, Sunday, and then everybody takes a day off. Doesn't mean you can't water. You only have to water once a day. You can water twice a day. So what I do, for instance, I'm a Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. I water first thing in the morning Tuesday at 1 a.m., and then I water again at night, 10 p.m., and then I skip a day, and then I go back. So there's only one period where I really have a 48-hour period where I can't water. I found that my lawn at least can survive that. We've just implemented this. We are in the process now of working on the enforcement. Last night we took to council what the fines will be, and our intent isn't to be draconian with this, as you pointed out. It's to be collaborative and work with our customers. We start off with three warnings before you actually get to a penalty. For the first warning, and we're not proactively running around the streets. We're expecting calls in. We don't have our water staff out there running around the streets. We're waiting for word from our customers as to how everybody's doing. The first warning is a yellow door hanger, basically saying, hey, you've been observed not meeting part of our water ordinance. Here's some tips that you can do to get things better, and you can call us if you have any questions. Second warning is a red door hanger, basically saying the same thing. Third one is a registered letter that goes to the property owner. And then it's the fourth warning before you actually get hit with a fine, and that fine is a $50 fine.
Okay. That gives me two questions right off the top. One is, you said that it's a statewide situation. I mean, this isn't something that's just happening in Redding or Anderson or wherever. It's everybody in the state. Why couldn't we meet the 25% reduction? Weren't we not using enough water to begin with? What happened?
Well, the 25% really is a part of our billing system, in that the 25% our plan was is you had to cut 25% based upon the last 3 years' usage.
Right.
And we had to calculate that last 3 years' usage. We're going through a process and completely changing our customer service billing software. We don't have the ability to calculate those last 3 years and to come up with that number.
Okay.
In addition, I think as a staff, we felt like in the city that wasn't necessarily fair. You got people that are very conservation-minded and have done very well over the last few years, and expect them to be cut 25% while their neighbor, who's flooding the gutter, he can easily make 25% and still keep his yard green.
Okay.
You know, we need to go to the phone. We have two callers waiting. We have Roberta on line one. Good morning, Roberta.
Good morning, Trish. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning.
Hey, I live in a neighborhood that people don't think that this has started yet, and I'm just wondering, what date did it start, and how did you notify customers?
Well, council approved it on August 5th, and so we've done a few different things to notify the customers. Obviously, press release or the press coverage of council action on August 5th, and then we sent out press releases, and basically all the media covered it. Our website has a lot of information on it. We've also, with our monthly electronic newsletter through the utilities, Connects, we have an article there. But we're also, with the next bill, putting in a bill stuffer that'll describe it and provide more information. So those are some of the things. That probably the biggest one that people are waiting for is that bill stuffer that provides some detail.
And it started, it's effective when?
It was effective August 5th, but we really haven't done any enforcement yet. I mentioned the very first stage, the yellow door hanger. We just had those printed out yesterday. We have not put them on a door yet. We're kind of waiting for word to get out before we really start enforcing.
And you're here. That's one way to get it up.
And we're letting people know now. Okay. Thank you very much.
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you, Roberta. And we'll go now to line two and talk with Seth. Good morning, Seth.
Hi.
Howdy.
You have a question for Brian Crane?
I did. I was going to ask him about watering at night. What's the rationale for watering at night? I may have missed that.
Well, the big rationale is watering at, say, 5 in the morning versus 2 in the afternoon when it's 100 and 105 outside. You're wasting water at 2 in the afternoon. A lot of that is evaporated and really doesn't get down into the roots and do any good for your landscaping. 5 in the morning is much more preferred and an industry standard for watering your landscape.
Oh, okay. So, and then the separate question, the tier system that the city has, the very beginning tier starts off at like 8 cubic per foot or something. Where did that initial step come in?
Yeah, we implemented
how was that calculated?
We implemented a tiered rate system last year, and the breakoff points are from 0 to 11, you're charged 48 cents a CCF, and the 11, the theory behind that anyway is that during the winter time, the average Redding user uses about 11 CCF. And so we're thinking that if you're not watering the outside, if you're really sticking to just watering what you need to or using water where you need to, your dishwasher, your shower, things like that, that you shouldn't be penalized anymore. So that's the lowest rate. From 11 to 36 is the next gap, and the 36 is your average summer use for a resident in the city of Redding. So those users shouldn't be hit too hard, but maybe a little bit, and their rate is just a little bit more than it was before. It's that user from 36 higher that's using a lot of water outside that they have to pay a little bit more.
Was that based on household, like a household of four, I don't know how it could possibly use only 11 almost in the winter. And then if you don't have the ability to average out how you drop 25%, how did you have the ability to average out what the average use was?
Well, we were able to calculate last year when we were going through our rate update, and we weren't going through our customer service billing update. We were able to use that information and count for all residential users in the city of Reading what the average use was during the wintertime, during that December, January, February time frame, and it was 11 CCF per month. We didn't break it down into households of two or households of six. We broke it down into just your average residential use, and that's pretty much industry standard. And we did the same thing for the summertime use to get to 36. We looked at what that August, July-August usage was, and based upon that, for the average single-family resident in the city of Reading, what that use was.
Okay, thanks very much, Seth. And we're going to take go for a break right now. We'll be right back.
And we apologize for that. A little computer malfunction. We'll work on it here and throw it back to Trish.
Okay. And we are here this morning with Brian Crane, and we got some good questions going there. If you have a question, give us a call at 605-4567 or jump into the chat room at KCNR1460.com. And we've been talking about water, and boy, that's a subject we can go on and on and on with.
You know, several years ago. You have solid waste.
Yeah, I do not have solid waste.
Oh, you don't?
No. Solid waste is a different department.
They're not under Public Works?
They're not. They're under support services.
You have storm drains?
I have storm drains, yes.
Okay.
That was an interesting conversation we were having about storm drains and the new law that's coming down.
Yeah.
Because storm drains are really hard to control what goes into a storm drain.
You know, water quality is a big issue in California and nationwide, and California just recently implemented what they call their new MS4 permit. All industrial, municipal, stormwater users have to comply with statewide permits. And the new permit is phased in over several years, and the requirements are going to be much greater than they have been in the past. There'll be more testing requirements. We'll not only have to test where we outfall into a body of water, but we'll have to test the body of water itself that we're putting water into. We'll have to filter our systems, much more education to the public. So many, many more requirements will be phased in over the next few years.
Okay, and those are brand new requirements. They're going to be very expensive. And storm drains are unique within the city. It is an enterprise fund, but the only way the rate in the storm drain fund can be increased is with a vote of the people. Am I right?
That's correct.
Therefore, we have new state standards we're going to be forced to put on the ballot. We, the city, are going to be forced to put on the ballot a storm drain increase. And frankly, the state doesn't care whether we approve it or not.
We have to do it.
We ought to do it.
It's our problem. It's every municipality in the state's problem. And that's the big unanswered question is these new requirements being put on them, how you're going to fund them. And a lot of cities, including the city, we're pushing back, trying to work with the regional board on what is the highest priority of these to implement. But we don't have the funding to implement all.
And are you telling me that this is a city of Reading issue that they have to vote on, or it's a statewide issue that they have to vote on any new tax? Is that the?
It's a city of Reading issue.
Right.
Oh, okay. This isn't every city can't just raise the rate.
Right. Prop 218 treats this as a fee as a tax. And in order for us to implement this new fee or this new tax, and it's a special fee, it's not a general fund, it requires a two-thirds vote of the general public in order for us to implement a new tax. Now, water and wastewater and solid waste are all exempt, and they have a different process to follow. It's a majority protest process. They don't have to follow a vote of the general public and get a two-thirds threshold.
But this is not just unique to the city of Reading. It's unique to every city.
Correct.
Okay. And we are going to take a break now.
The computer headache is hopefully fixed. This portion of the program brought to you by Four Winds Jewelry, 2225 Hilltop Drive, 222-2750. Four Winds is a full-service jewelry store providing the finest selection of jewelry in Northern California. Four Winds Jewelry, 222-2750.
Everybody calls us. Summer, fall, winter, and spring, we've got the best. It's hard to guess who's going to make our telephone ring.
At Alliance Heating and Air Conditioning, everybody calls us, 221-2642. Because when you call 221-2642, we help keep you cool. 221-2642. Be cool with Alliance Heating and Air. 221-2642. Now you say the number.
Everybody calls us.
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
As we girls get older, our eyesight weakens. This requires larger diamonds.
Shop the Goldmark annual estate sale going on now with thousands of vintage, unique, and one-of-a-kind jewelry items. Special six-month deferred interest financing is available. Like us on Facebook for daily specials, and be sure to sign up in the store for your chance to win a free one-ounce gold bar. Open Monday through Saturday, 9:30 to 5:30. The Goldmark annual estate sale. Town and Country Center, Hilltop Drive, Reading.
Rumor has it, Lulu established a roadhouse to provide good food and drinks in a relaxing atmosphere at affordable prices. Today, Lulu's continues the tradition, serving breakfast, lunch, and dinner 7 days a week with specials posted daily. Lulu's Catering serves special events at your site or in their banquet room with customized menus to fit your budget. And they have the best Bloody Mary in town. Find Lulu's Eating and Drinking Establishment on Pine Street, where Pine meets Cypress Avenue.
We rock!
Well, Bob, you are irresistible.
Oh, pure and simple.
Naturally the best.
We're Mount Shasta Springwater.
National news with a local view. KCNR, 1460 AM.
It might seem crazy what I'm about to say.
Okay, and we are coming back to Community Radio for the North State. KCNR1460.com if you'd like to jump in the chat room. 605-4567 if you have a quick question for Brian Crane. And we are talking with Brian Crane from the City of Reading, Public Works Director, about water and storm drains and all kinds of things.
So, why in the heck did you sell water to somebody down south when Bella Vista was out of water? Why didn't you keep it at home?
Well, we didn't have extra water. There was a deal already done between the Mulcana Foundation and Kanawha Water District. It was a done deal. What we actually did in the process is we saved excess water from going south of Glenn County to the Delta and to Southern California. That's really what we did in the process. And the city of Reading made a little bit of money to make up for all the water loss that we've had with conservation efforts. We do lose money when people don't use as much water. We're in the business of selling water, so despite us pushing conservation, that does mean less revenue for the city, less ability for us to replace those old water pipes or replace that old pump house.
So translation, watch out. The rate increase coming.
We're not planning that.
There are five water districts that serve residents of the city of Redding. You don't have any control over the other water districts, correct? Only your own.
That's correct.
So Centerville and some of those things that you're referring to.
Bella Vista, for example.
Bella Vista, yeah.
The big one's Bella Vista. Bella Vista serves most of the northeastern part of the community, nearly 3,000 customers or 3,000 connections. So they serve quite a few people.
In your crystal ball, looking toward the future, do the folks who get City of Redding water, are they in danger of losing water?
You know, I'd say in the bigger picture, 10 years, 20 years down the road, we have contracts with the Bureau for our water. We sit on a large aquifer. We have the ability to tap into that. So the City of Redding is sitting pretty good with a diversified water portfolio. I think we're sitting in pretty good shape. But, you know, statewide, there are a lot of pressure on surface water. Everybody wants the water out of the Sacramento River, and they want our water. We are actually in the middle of a lawsuit with the Metropolitan Water Districts and a big environmental group with other settlement contractors trying to infringe upon our water right in the Sacramento River. So you'd never know what's
in front of you. And the issue is those people who do have that surface water and groundwater, big push always is to make us tap into that groundwater, use more of our groundwater when we have it, and let the other people who don't have groundwater use the surface water. Problem with that is Owens Valley.
We have that problem, certainly. We do. It's a blessing that we have groundwater, but at the same time, there is pressure for us to use less surface water and send it down the river for Delta environmental concerns, but also Southern California, where they can build some big tunnels and divert the water around the Delta.
Well, I think a lot of people aren't aware that the city is served by several water districts. They look at the city council and say, hey, I got a water problem, fix it. And they live in Enterprise someplace. Well, you know, where Simpson College is, okay? They say, hey, fix my water, City of Redding. But in the city of Redding's water, they can't fix it. That's Bella Vista's water.
We can't fix it, but we are a partner with Bella Vista Water District. We'll be working closely with them and maybe exploring avenues to where we can help with some of their water supply where we can without impacting our customers, without costing our customers, but certainly where we can, better coordination with Bella Vista Water District. As you know, we did in late June, did end up selling them water to where they could bring their restrictions from where they were at 70% to 85% use. So we have worked with them to provide water where we can.
But when the rubber meets the road, if they get cut off from water, it is not something the city council can do anything about because it's a separate governmental entity.
And maybe that should have been considered at some point in time when City of Redding was reaching out and annexing everything in sight and making it a part of their city when they were so far away and actually couldn't provide all those city services. Just a thought.
You never let anything go, do you?
I have a great memory, Ken.
Yeah, you've been bitching about that for 30 years.
Hey, facts are facts. I'm just saying. You're supposed to provide services when you annex an area into your city.
Brian, we really appreciate you coming in this morning. I would like you to tell again the listeners how they can contact you with any of the city public utilities, storm drain, water, sewer, roads. If they've got a problem, how do they contact you and register their problem?
Well, first, thank you for giving me the opportunity to talk a little bit about Public Works. The way you contact us, the best way is to go to readingutilities.com, and there will be contact information there. Either the YourGov application, which if you have a smartphone or an iPad, you can get on YourGov and enter in City of Reading, and there's a whole list of different things you can complain about and add comments to, and that will become a work order with us. The last way is a telephone number, 224-6068.
And you actually read those things.
Yes, we do.
We really appreciate you coming in. And I know that's always an interest, that, you know, roads and the water issue, certainly at this point. So we thank you for joining us. We're going to be joined the next hour with our sheriff, Tom Vasenko. And I'm sure we'll have lots of things to talk to him about. And we're going to have a little brief conversation with Jim Milestone from Whiskeytown Lake. Be right back after this break.
The news is brought to you now on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Top cardiovascular hospital in the nation, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
Agnew in Washington, Attorney General Eric Holder is set to arrive today in Ferguson, Missouri. He'll meet with local and federal officials probing the police shooting of an unarmed black teen. Amid more demonstrations last night on the streets of Ferguson, some protesters wore shirts that read, "No justice, no peace."
If they wanted this to stop, it better be a trial, and it better be justice, and that's the end of it.
Missouri Highway Patrol Captain Ron Johnson says there were fewer serious incidents last night, but danger was in the air.
There were no shootings, but a vehicle did approach the command center, and threats were made to kill a police officer. We identified the vehicle, located it, and made arrests, and seized two loaded handguns.
Also at SRNews.com, President Obama today set to address the Islamic State beheading of American journalist James Foley. Fawaz Gurges is an international relations expert at the London School of Economics and believes that the IS group is using the beheading in hopes of altering U.S. policy.
Yes, obviously they really believe that they could really terrorize the United States of America or Britain and basically prevent the United States, force the United States not to basically carry out attacks against their forces in Iraq.
Twitter, meanwhile, taking steps to stop the dissemination of graphic images of Foley's killing on its social media site. The public health expert coordinating UN efforts to fight Ebola says he's heading to Washington, then to West Africa, to determine the best way the world body can support affected people. He also stresses that Ebola does not spread through the air.
This disease is only transmissible if you actually touch and have contact with body fluids from an infected person.
The UN's top public health expert, Dr. David Nabarro, says that he'll also be having meetings with the World Bank and experts from the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. This is SRN News.
Do you have a family member who's getting older and can no longer be safely left alone? With Visiting Angels, America's Choice in Senior Home Care, your parents and older family members can continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Experienced, compassionate caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meal preparation, and light housework up to 24 hours per day at affordable rates. To restore your family's peace of mind, call Visiting Angels toll-free today at 877-374-LIVE or at visitingangels.com.
The following is a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
When our daughter Emma was born, we took a look at our credit card debt. It was not a good situation. Finally, my wife Vicki said, call Trinity.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-936-5496.
We called them, they contacted all of our creditors, they stopped the collections calls, they got the interest reduced, and they put us on a plan for success.
If your debt has you down, call Trinity at 1-800-936-5496.
America's nuclear power regulator has been hacked three times in the past year, and according to this report from SRN's Wally Hines, two of those attacks originated in a foreign country.
One of the incidents appears to be an attempt to trick staffers into unveiling secure login credentials. Another infested some Nuclear Regulatory Commission computers with malware. This all according to an internal investigation obtained by the NextGov website. At least two of the hacking attempts have been traced to foreign countries, according to NextGov, although those countries weren't named. Experts say the NRC database of nuclear reactors and possible safety vulnerabilities vulnerabilities would be very valuable to America's enemies. The commission says the hacking attempts were identified and corrective measures taken. Wally Hines, SRN News, Capitol Hill.
Looking to Wall Street, the Dow bouncing off with some renewed momentum after a big 81-point gain yesterday, and the momentum continues. Right now it's up by about 50 points. This is SRN News. The Obama administration is promising to change the way that travelers can ask to be removed from its no-fly list. And we get more from SRN's Linda Kenyon.
The no-fly list contains the names of suspected terrorists banned from air travel. But a federal judge has ruled there was no meaningful way to challenge that list, and it was therefore deemed unconstitutional. In response, the Justice Department says the U.S. will change the process during the next 6 months. As of late summer, about 48,000 people were on the no-fly list.
That's SRN's Linda Kenyon. CAL FIRE spokesman Chris Christofferson said that the blaze burning in the foothills near Yosemite National Park has held steady thanks in part to higher humidity and calmer winds.
We're not letting our guard down. The firefighters are very much engaged to make sure that we're putting 100% effort out there to get this fire contained.
And the fire does come amid California's third straight year of a serious drought. More details at srnnews.com.
The news was brought to you this hour on AM 1460 by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Now accepting Anthem Blue Cross, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
And good morning, North State. You are joining us at Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460 AM Community Radio. This is Trish Clark. I'm joined this week by Ken Murray as my co-host. It's Thursday all week. Carl and Linda are in someplace in the British Isles as we speak, enjoying a great vacation. And so I'm hosting this week. We're going to go first to Josh Wiley at Wells Fargo Advisors.
Hey, good morning. Well, the markets are mixed in the second hour of trading. Currently, the Dow's up 27 points at 16,947, while the NASDAQ is down 2 at 4,526, and the S&P 500 is up 2 at 1,983. Oil's up $1.18 a barrel at $95.66, while the 30-year Treasury is yielding 3.23%. Gold's down $1.70 this morning at $1,295, while silver's up 9 cents at $19.51 an ounce. Some of our most actively traded stocks, Microsoft's down 19 cents at $45.14, Merck's up 34 cents at $59.25, while McDonald's is down 31 cents at $94.14. Well, that's the market for now. This is Josh Wiley at the Reading office of Wells Fargo Advisors for KCNR.
And thank you very much, Josh. Listen for the Wells Fargo Market Minute weekday mornings here at 7:10, 8:10, and 9:05 on KCNR. Brought to you by Wells Fargo Advisors on Park Marina Drive. Give them a call at 243-7561. Sunny and a high near 90 is the forecast from the National Weather Service. It'll be mostly clear tonight, low around 66. Sunny tomorrow, a high near 93. Right now in Reading, we have 70 degrees. The report brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. They usually say our customers are warm friends. Right now, they're saying it's cool to be a Shasta Gas customer. 365-3793. They always offer senior and veterans discounts at Shasta Gas Propane.
Okay, and we are back, and we are joined right now by Jim with Jim Milestone, and he's going to talk about Brandy Creek Beach Luau at Whiskeytown Lake.
Right, Trish, on September 6th, we're going to have the Brandy Creek Luau, and it's going to be a wonderful event. This is the fifth year we've done this. Tiki torches, hula dancers, and roasted pig, along with a vegetarian meal for anyone who wants to pass on the roasted pig. But this is a fundraiser for the Friends of Whiskeytown, and we take this money and hire college students to work on our trail crew at Whiskeytown.
Now, do you actually go out the beach, dig a hole in the sand, throw a bunch of hot rocks in there, light a fire, then throw the pig in, and then cover it all up with banana leaves? You do that?
No, we don't. We have San Francisco Deli do all of that.
Oh,
and they bring out the roasted pig all cooked, and it's steaming hot, and John Lunte does a great job there from the San Francisco Deli.
So he's over there in the parking lot, digging a hole in the asphalt.
You know, it's hard to find banana leaves in Reading. That's the problem.
It's tough, yeah. Actually, do you know that there are several places, people around Shasta County who actually still do the pit barbecue?
Yeah. They're great.
Oh, they're marvelous, marvelous. So what kind of, you got great prizes.
We do. We have we're going to have a live and a silent auction items. The live auction includes things such as Hot Spring Spa here in town has donated a Drift Hot Spa to this. That's like a value of $3,700. We have a one-night stay at the beautiful lake house overlooking Whiskeytown Lake. It's a rental house. It's beautiful up in Whiskey Creek, and and that's going to be on the block. We also have $100 worth of Shakespeare tickets in Ashland, Oregon. We've got a personal tour of the DeYoung Museum's American Art Collection by the assistant curator Emma Acker at the DeYoung Museum in San Francisco. We've got a night stay at the Palace Hotel in San Francisco. That's a historic luxury hotel on Market Street down in the Financial District. Beautiful place, and that's a wonderful donation. We have dinner at Moonstone Bistro for two people. We have an evening on the on a 25-foot sailboat across Whiskeytown Lake. Drinking wine or cocktails or whatever beverage of your choice and hors d'oeuvres. And that's going to be a really nice adventure. We have Forever Resorts. The concessionaire at Whiskeytown is offering a patio boat weekend, or excuse me, a houseboat weekend at any of their resorts in California. So they're at various lakes, and that'll be good through next summer. We also have four tickets to the Academy of Sciences, the California Academy of Sciences in Golden Gate Park. And we have hotel rooms for all the people that bid on those type of things in San Francisco. So that's kind of fun, including tickets to Alcatraz Penitentiary. So if you've never been to Alcatraz, you know, I spent a year out there on the Rock and as a young ranger. And so it's a wonderful
place. I'm glad you clarified that.
Yeah.
How much is this going to cost me to get a chance to have one of these wonderful prizes?
For this experience of tiki torches on the reflections of Whiskeytown Lake.
You sound like a salesman now.
and the hula dancers.
It's feeling more expensive the more you talk.
It's $40 for dinner and that experience, and then, you know, the auction items that we have. And this is all for a really good cause, to raise money for building trails that we hire students in college from the Student Conservation Association. And they come from all over the country, and they come here to Whiskeytown and work. Right now they're working on the Princess Ditch Trail at Whiskeytown, building bridges with the Park Service crew. It's great.
And how can people get tickets?
Tickets at the Cascade Theater box office. So we made it really easy. Just go online or go to the Cascade Theater box office and purchase your tickets. Or you can do it through PayPal at the friendsofwhiskeytown.org, friendsofwhiskeytown.org website.
What's the date?
September 6th.
5 o'clock, 5 to 6. This is a social hour followed by the dinner and the auction. It's at Whiskey Creek Campground?
At Brandy Creek.
Brandy Creek, Whiskeytown Lake.
The Brandy Creek Luau. September 6th.
You got the wrong booze on your mind.
Oh, I'm a Scotch drinker.
You have a Scotch Creek up there? Yeah.
Jim, this is going to be fun. The Whiskeytown Lake is what we always refer to as our local lake up here, because a lot of us go up there and enjoy it. It's marvelous time to spend up there, and this is a great cause because those kids come up there and do a lot of work through the summer months.
Right. Yes. We've also, the Friends of Whiskeytown also is the organization that purchases the kayaks for the free ranger guided kayak tours on Whiskeytown Lake. And since we started those in 2002, we've had 28,000 people go on those free ranger guided kayak tours. And the Friends group buys the kayaks and the life jackets and the paddles for that free ranger guided tour. It's a really a great value and wonderful experience.
Well, wait a minute. I've never done that. I've heard about that, but I'm
waiting
for it.
I look forward to fishing you out of the lake sometime.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to, you know, having the ranger guided tour. I mean, it's a kayak with two holes in it for two people, and the ranger paddles the thing, and I sit back there and listen to the tour.
I'll personally take you out on the lake in our tandem kayak.
You know the problem with that? I could get into it. But by the time you were done, I could never get out of it. It's a problem with old age.
Crane. We need a crane out there at the side. Of the
you would do fine.
Yeah. And they have helpers to get you in and out, Ken.
Ken, they have special needs kayaks, which the Coast Guard Auxiliary, that's why I know so much about this. And those individuals have their challenges. They go out and they have a ball. And a big, if I can say publicly on the air, a big hats off to all the volunteers out there who make that program happen.
Yeah, it's wonderful. You know, on the Moonlight Kayak Tours, the Coast Guard Auxiliary Flotilla 39 comes out, and they follow along so make sure that no one has any problems out there on the lake at night. And then we have, the Special Needs Tour, which is great. We bring people with disabilities or any needs that they have go on these ranger-guided tours, so it's wonderful.
So I qualify because I have trouble getting out of bed in the morning, right?
There you go.
It happens at a certain age.
Complain. Okay, so remember, we can get our tickets at the Cascade Theater. We're talking about September 6th. It's at 5 o'clock out at Brandy Creek, the Brandy Creek Luau. Great gifts. An opportunity to go out and have just a great time, get your friends together. Have a great time out there and donate and get some great gifts from all kinds of trips and things to purchase. So thanks very much, Jim, for coming in.
Thanks, Trish. Thanks, Ken. Thank you.
And we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back with Sheriff Jim Basenko.
We're surrounded with badges here.
We are.
It's 8:15 on KCNR 1460, the home of Community Talk Radio, and this portion of the program is brought to you by Alliance Heating and Air, serving the North State for over 20 years with outstanding service to all models and makes of heating and cooling systems. Warranties, guarantees, 7 days a week and 24-hour service. Alliance Heating and Air, call 221-2642 or check out their website at homecomfort.org.
Yeah, I get a feeling that I never, 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 never had before. No, no, I get a good feeling. Yeah. Oh, sometimes I get a good feeling.
Hi, this is Ron Largent of Sheldon Largent Realty. This is an interesting time for real estate, and I'm approached almost daily with the question, is it a good time to buy or sell real estate? Well, many factors enter into this, and that is kind of where my job as a professional real estate consultant comes into play. If you're thinking about buying or selling any real estate in your opinion, give me a call. No obligation. It's my pleasure. My specialty is commercial property. And again, we can talk. 547-2102, 547-2102. It's Ron Largent.
Mary's great-grandsons, Vincent and Luigi here, telling everyone about Mary's Pizza Shack's 55th anniversary Sonoma Getaway Giveaway.
What's the getaway?
Visit Mary's before August 25th and enter to win one of our weekly prize packs.
With the $55 gift certificate.
Or the grand prize of a weekend for four in Sonoma at the Fairmont Sonoma Mission Inn.
What was it like back in the day?
Mary made her homemade pizzas, pastas, and salads with her secret family recipes.
So good.
Mary was one of the nicest people you ever met. Sounds like Nani, what about the meatballs? Were they as big as my head? Luigi, nobody can see how big your head is on the radio.
Oh!
Stop by your favorite shack to enter Mary's 55th anniversary Sonoma Getaway Giveaway. And thank you to all of our customers over the years.
Original recipes, original shack, Mary's Pizza Shack. Complete menu available for dine-in, takeout, and delivery in downtown Reading and at the Shasta outlets on Highway 273.
No purchase necessary to win. For complete rules and alternate form of entry, visit maryspizzashack.com.
The home of good health in Reading for over 30 years is Orchard Nutrition. You'll love Orchard's in-store deli, featuring no-nitrate meats and fresh roasted beef from the local Lazy 69 Ranch. Try their bakery fresh bread, and of course, there's organic produce washed in Orchard's purified water. A part of the Reading community for over 30 years, family-owned and operated for three generations, Orchard Nutrition is far more than a health food store. They're the North State Nutrition Experts. Orchard Nutrition, 221 Locust Street in Reading.
Bark and Wine.
Don't forget brew.
Yes, brew also. Hoping you will join us Saturday, October 4th at the Wind River Resort and Casino Event Center for the 7th Annual Haven Humane Wine and Beer Tasting with sit-down dinner, live and silent auction, and basket drawings.
This event is our premier fundraising event to help the animal population of our area. For tickets and more information, call Haven Humane Society or go on havenhumane.net.
You did that very well.
Well, I'm not as dumb as you think I am.
Yeah.
Hi, this is Dr. Maria Salas, local Reading chiropractor, and
Josie Salas-Tynan, holistic health practitioner. Join us on the Positively Healthy Show, where twins talk health. Listen on the first, third, and fourth Saturdays of the month as we talk about health, lifestyle, fitness, and so much more. Streaming on KCNR1460.com from 10 to 11 a.m. We keep you up to date locally and globally. Find out how you can become positively healthy.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
And welcome back. You are listening to Community Radio, Free Fire Radio. If you'd like to join this conversation, jump into the chat room at KCNR1460.com or give us a call at 605-4567. This is Trish Clark and my co-host Ken Murray, and we are joined this morning at this point by Sheriff Tom Pasenka.
Good morning, Trish and Ken. How are you?
I'm great, and I'm glad you're here.
A little guest hosting this week.
I am. Listen, I'm going to make an observation, and then I will ask you some questions.
Sure.
First of all, I have done a lot of ride-alongs.
Uh-huh.
I've done them with city police. I've done them in other city police departments. I've done them with the sheriff's department on more than one occasion.
Mm-hmm.
There is... in my observation, a distinct difference between what sheriff's deputies do and what city police policemen do. And there's also a difference between chiefs of police and sheriffs. Police chiefs are hired generally by either the city manager, this is all over California,
correct,
or either by the city manager or the city council, okay? Sheriffs, on the other hand, are a constitutional office. They're set up in the state constitution. There are 58 of them in California. And there are no requirements to be a sheriff.
That's not true.
And they are elected.
They are elected.
Well, I understand that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I can. Is there any reason I can't run for sheriff?
Yeah.
What is it?
Because you've never been a police officer. You don't have a post certificate. In 1991, there was a constitutional amendment that required, if you wanted to run for the office of sheriff, you had to be a peace officer. And that it meant that you had to have a Commission on Peace Officers Standard and Training certificate, had to have either a basic with X amount of years of service or an intermediate or an advanced, and those are all different certifications. But you had to be a peace officer or a retired peace officer to be able to run for sheriff in California.
So if I go through the PORAC course, I can become a...
Well, PORAC is a labor union, but POST is...
Whatever. POST. Whatever. Those
gotta get all the acronyms right.
Being a union guy ain't gonna work.
Whatever. Yeah. But okay. You'd have to get the POST certificate, and then you'd have to have so many years experience to be able to run.
All right. So somebody runs for sheriff, and I suspect that, I mean, there were good reasons for changing the law in 1991. I've been through, I don't remember how many sheriffs.
Well, it gave some credibility to it, gave some experience to it. You just couldn't be, no offense to grocers, Joe the grocer, and run for sheriff. You had to have some background. That was the thought behind it when it changed in about 1991.
In any event, one of my observations from my various ride-alongs is that deputy sheriffs get called out to the middle of nowhere, and they become marriage counselors. And I don't see...
You become marriage counselors, psychiatrists, yeah. Referees, umpires, and of course, law enforcement officers.
Generally, city cops don't do that for one reason. I don't know that they... I mean, they may have the skills to do that, but they don't do it because they're running from call to call so fast that they don't have any time to get involved. But
the jobs are very similar, but even in the city, you get called to family disturbances. There may not be a crime, but you end up, even in the city, you end up being a marriage counselor at time, a family counselor with child problems going on. Their kids are starting to become incorrigible. So it is very similar. We do get some training on dealing with mental health issues and family problems.
But I see, at least my experience is that sheriff's deputies do a lot more of that. And it's a lot scarier because they're out there all alone.
Right.
They can't call for backup in the middle of Happy Valley because somebody will get there a half hour later.
That's usually the
accurate. If they need backup, they do get backup from the Redding City Police or Anderson Police.
I understand that.
Anderson,
or California Highway.
Like Anderson, they'll come out to Happy Valley, but it's still a ways away. But mm-hmm. sometimes that backup is still half hour away.
Yeah.
When I was early in my career, that's why I decided to become a canine officer and have a dog with me because mm-hmm. my backup was immediate. and was right there at least to help me out in the case of a fight or resisting arrest.
Okay, so let's go back to the fact. Sheriffs are elected. They're a constitutional officer. However, they're not in charge of much because the Board of Supervisors sets their budget. So we can have an elected sheriff, but if the Board of Supervisors doesn't like who gets elected, they can pretty much cut them off at the knees from doing anything, and which creates a continual dynamic between the sheriff, at least from what I've observed in Shasta County, an ongoing dynamic between the sheriff and the Board of Supervisors. The sheriff always wants more money, and the supervisors say, well, we got to spend money on other things, and it's just a...
Well,
I guess it's the nature of the beast.
I would disagree with you there, because then even if the board had a disagreement with the sheriff and they were cutting the budget, they would not be doing their job, because who they're ultimately hurting are the people that they represent, the community. Certainly the board can have disagreements with whomever's in office, and that can be taken out in budget. But again, that goes with giving the service to the people in the community. Trish was on there for 16 years, and we never have enough money in the whole county budget, no matter if it's the assessor's office or the sheriff's office. There is just not enough because of the requirements of the state keeps putting on to the county, not enough revenue coming in.
Yes, and of course, all the elected department heads are all going into the Board of Supervisors vying for their own department, and it winds up being Robin Peter to pay Paul.
Well, because there isn't, and certainly we talk about that at the city or the county or special districts or whatever, there is inherently not enough money for everything that government tries to do. And we had a little bit of discussion about that yesterday.
Sure.
And I think it's a matter of government trying to be too many things to too many people. And that's where it is. We need to get back
or
to
they make new
what
laws,
is the priority.
Or they make new laws and mandate something at the state level, but it's an unfunded mandate, and it generally falls on the shoulders of the county. The county also have more responsibilities in that they have to provide mental health services and the social services with welfare that the cities don't. That becomes an impact on the county budget as well. Now, some of those funds are coming from state and federal funds, like for social programs and welfare, but it's still a county responsibility to administer that.
All right. One of the other decisions I made in life was I would never make it as a cop. And that's because I'd go out on my first child abuse call and see a baby with a broken arm and the baby's father standing there saying it was an accident. And I'd haul out my baton and break his arm and take them both to the hospital. And statistically, somebody earlier this week told us our child abuse rates here are about double the state average. What's with that?
Don't know if it's double, but we do have a high. A lot of that child abuse isn't just physical abuse. A lot of times it is sexual abuse. And the sexual abuse is usually within the family, not necessarily a father or stepfather, but it can be the uncle, the grandfather. But usually it's an associate or a friend of the family. Very unfortunate. And you talk about losing your temper, losing your cool. That's why we have very strict standards and backgrounds and psychology examinations. Excuse me.
I'm not talking about losing my cool. I'm talking about eye for an eye.
But you're not the judge and jury, and that's what we
that's
do.
That's why I'm not a cop.
that's right. It takes a kind of a special person. It's a calling, and to do our job well and do it professionally and ethically.
Because that's got to be tough. You go out into a situation
it's extremely tough.
Especially where there's small children or any child involved, and you see that kind of thing. And it's a difficult – this is something that the family doesn't want to get involved in a lot of instances.
That's correct.
Even though they kind of maybe suspect it, they don't want to turn each other in, I don't think that the children are always fairly represented in
what makes
things.
It really difficult too is in the cases of the infants that are abused. You'll see that broken arm, or even worse, shaken baby syndrome that ends up killing an infant because they get upset. Because usually
the baby won't stop crying.
Won't stop crying, then they shake it, and then it can cause severe injury or death. And that's difficult because the only witnesses generally are the boyfriend or the mother or the father, and then you have to put it together through a lot of times forensics and other injuries.
Okay, I remember who it was. The guy we had on Monday from Health and Human Services.
And Don L. Ewart.
Yeah, great guy.
we have twice the amount of problems to the state average with children and child abuse. And
I thought it was just general abuse.
No, it was children. And the question is, do deputies receive special training in that? Is there any emphasis on that, or should there be an emphasis on that that we don't have the money to do, or what's going on there?
We receive our training course from the Commission on Peace Officer Standard Training at the Basic Academy, and then ongoing training throughout our career that we have to do every 2 years. And then for those investigators that are assigned child abuse cases, it's required by law that they require special training for the investigation of that incident and how to handle kids and juveniles and talk to them, and so that you're not asking leading questions that they're just agreeing with you that can end up tainting a statement for the kids that can talk and are coherent. And so they do get special training and ongoing.
And you know, beyond that, it's a difficult thing in getting people to actually report this. There are certain categories of people who are required by law.
Mandatory reporters.
Mandatory reporters who are required by law to report. I mean, teachers.
Doctors, nurses, law enforcement officers, we come about it. Child protective services when they interact with families there. So there's a lot of mandatory reporting that goes on if they suspect some type of abuse of a child.
We're going to take a break, but when we come back, I'm going to assume that you are in charge of everything in the community, everything. I can't get my arms wrapped around us having twice the rate of the state average, and I guess I'm not happy with we're doing everything we can. What would you do to solve this problem when we come back from the
break?
Okay, we are going to take a break now.
All right, it's 8:30 on KCNR 1460, the home of community talk radio. Of course, phone lines are open, 605-4567. The chat room is open, KCNR1460.com. This portion of the program is brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop, Man's Last Stronghold, 2463 Athens Avenue in Reading. Give them a call at 244-9478. A great haircut at a great price. Cypress Square Barbershop.
Patriot Gold and Silver Exchange has always believed that peace of mind is selling your gold and silver coins and bullion for a fair price. It's protecting your wealth with gold and silver. It's knowing your family has access to nourishing quality food and emergency supplies in times of distress. The Patriot is your peace of mind store with locations in Reading, Chico, Corning, and we're happy to announce the reopening of our store in the Holiday Shopping Center in Palisadro. To celebrate this, we're giving away a free personal stainless steel water filter bottle, a $32 value, with the purchase of a 200-serving emergency food bucket while supplies last. These are a convenient and versatile food storage product. Just add hot water for quick meals at home or grab and go if you have to evacuate. And don't pay more and wait weeks for delivery. In Reading, we're located in the Sunset Plaza at 3637 Eureka Way next to the Round Table. In Chico, we're located on East Avenue in the Safeway Marketplace. In Corning, we're in the Olive Tree Plaza. And once again, in Palisadro at the Holiday Market Center. Come to the Patriot and get peace of mind today for less.
As we girls get older, our eyesight weakens. This requires larger diamonds.
Shop the Goldmark annual estate sale going on now with thousands of vintage, unique, and one-of-a-kind jewelry items. Special six-month deferred interest financing is available. Like us on Facebook for daily specials and be sure to sign up in the store for your chance to win a free one-ounce gold bar. Open Monday through Saturday, 9:30 to 5:30. The Goldmark annual estate sale. Town and Country Center, Hilltop Drive, Reading.
Rumor has it, Lulu established a roadhouse to provide good food and drinks in a relaxing atmosphere at affordable prices. Today, Lulu's continues the tradition, serving breakfast, lunch, and dinner 7 days a week with specials posted daily. Lulu's Catering serves special events at your site or in their banquet room with customized menus to fit your budget. And they have the best Bloody Mary in town. Find Lulu's Eating and Drinking Establishment on Pine Street, where Pine meets Cypress Avenue.
He said he loved his newly purchased travel trailer until he towed it. Now I hate it because it swayed and shimmied so badly it shook the truck. Don Steck for Coachmaster Collision Repair. Our inspection revealed the rear axle was tracking straight ahead, but the front axle was pointed 1/2 inch to the left. The axles were working against each other for direction of travel, a dangerous condition. We corrected the tracking so both axles worked together. When the owner came to get his trailer, we asked him to call us after he had towed the trailer. Customer satisfaction is important. He called later and said, "It felt like a different trailer. It's perfect. I love it again." Coachmaster is a complete body and paint shop featuring the largest frame machine in Northern California, utilizing laser beams and 3D imaging for accuracy. Computerized paint matching too, of course. Redding, California.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
And 8:34 on KCNR 1460. It is 72 degrees in downtown Reading. This portion of the program brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive. Your place for great coffee and more at Espresso Joe's. They serve Caramel Macchiato and every other coffee you can imagine. Walk next door to the finest walk-in humidor in California, proudly serving the finest in your tobacco needs. Tobacco and Brew, where veterans always get discounts.
And this is Trish Clark, and I'm joined as my co-host this week by Ken Murray. We've got Sheriff Tom Basenko in the studio with us right now. It's 70 degrees outside. You can get in on this conversation by joining us at 605-4567 or jump into the chat room at kcnr1460.com.
Okay, before we went to break, I suggested that pretend you're the grand poobah of all government in Shasta County. We have this abuse rate, double the state average. We have a suicide rate, double the state average. What are you going to do to fix it?
And if money was no object, of course.
Of course, you're the poobah.
That's right. We can just make it happen.
Right.
Like the federal government, just print more probably. We'd have to have an increase in our mental health services, which would include services and program for treatment, but also for housing of those people that are in danger to themselves or other, an expansion of the mental health part of it. We'd have to have some expansion of our child protective services that go do in-home visits. That also includes for foster children and other children that are placed. Not saying anything bad about foster parents, but it's just another check and balance for the system. We, of course, would need more investigators. Those investigators for both of our police departments and for the sheriff's office are stretched very, very thin just for the child abuse, sexual abuse cases, and for what we call crimes against persons. So there could be an expansion of that because we get many reports coming in for those mandatory reporters and others, and it just really stretches them thin. Trish, you had a point that you were thinking
But my only thing is, you know, we keep talking about, okay, we've got this problem, and it's getting bigger, and we need to have all these people to handle the mental health issues and this and that. When do we as a society start figuring out how to stop people from abusing their children? When do we start going back and starting a society that teaches you that there's responsibilities and actions? You're responsible for your actions. At what point do we start trying to rebuild the family
that's a
in
good
our
point.
Society?
And for back to the rebuilding the family is good because there's a lot of broken families. There's a lot of dysfunctional families, and that goes back quite a ways. But you'll never be able to stop it. Even way back in the days, you still had abuse, but it was unspoken. They didn't report it. And it went because it was just Uncle Herman, and that was the weird Uncle Herman that we didn't want to go to, and because they were basically abusing within the family and never got reported. So we move forward, and it becomes mandatory reporting, and it gets more education. But that education component is part of it, and they do have some of that out there of teaching parenting skills. We're teaching parenting skills in the jail. Probation department has parenting skills. When we were, even if you go back to our parents, Trish, and before that, you never got an owner's manual of how to be a parent. You kind of learned it from your parents.
But you did have classes in school where they taught basic things about life skills.
Right.
And they taught body shop, and they taught how to basic life skills as to how to live as a human being in this world.
Yeah, but
I think that makes a difference
that helps.
What happens.
That's a component of it. But back
yeah,
to
but let. But my point is, and I think you're touching on it, is that the if you say we need more mental health workers, more investigators, blah 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 blah,
and family workers for that education component,
whatever. If we need more employees to solve the problem, that must mean we have half the employees currently of other communities in the state as an explanation for why we have double the abuse rates.
Well,
and wait.
No,
so,
I wouldn't agree with you with the half the employees causes double the problem.
No, but you're saying that if we're going to solve the problem, we got to double the employees. And I'm saying that we got a problem unrelated to the amount of employees that we have. And
part of it is we're very rural, and so it gets spread out into the rural areas and even in the cities here. We're limited on our services and programs that we have available, which goes to the employees. But then also we have a larger drug problem, too, with both methamphetamine and a resurgent of heroin. And a lot of times, too, we see some of this abuse, especially like in shaken babies and the abuse of breaking some of their bones and everything. That goes a lot of times with drug abuse, a lot with methamphetamine. And so we do see that as well.
I'd kill them all. I'm just, I can't abide spousal abusers or child abusers.
We do have a high domestic violence abuse. And I think on a number of occasions, Gene King has been a guest on the show as well, talking about spousal abuse within Shasta County and One Safe Place services and programs that they offer.
All right. The Board of Supervisors put on the November ballot an issue about no growing marijuana outside.
Mm-hmm. Measure A.
Let's say that passes. How are you going to enforce it?
We will enforce it with the resources and funding that we have available, which is very minimal. Right now, the board authorized one deputy position to assist our code enforcement officer. We do need more, but that's what they have available for funding. It makes it a little easier for enforcement because then anything that is grown outside is illegal and then could be eradicated. They also, part of putting it indoors into what they call an accessory building, which is a barn, shop, or shed. That barn, shop, or shed has to be built to code. It has to have a residence on the property. And it also, if you have plumbing and electrical, that has to be to code. And it has to have a filtration device, which is important when you get into more of the populated areas, because a large amount of our complaints is from the obnoxious smell of the growing marijuana, especially when it gets close to harvest time, that you can't enjoy your backyard.
You can't use your swamp cooler.
You can't enjoy your backyard because your neighbor's dope is so pungently. It's a problem. So that it requires you to have a filtration device on that shed as well, probably a carbon filter filtration device, so that it knocks off the odor that won't cause a problem and a nuisance to the neighbors.
Does anyone here think that California is not going to decriminalize pot in the near future?
It'll probably be on the 2016 ballot if they do it. But until then, it's still illegal in California for marijuana, unless you have a medical recommendation under the Compassionate Use Act. It's still illegal at the federal level, although feds are doing less and less every day.
So aren't we just swimming upstream?
But and do you believe that is a solution, to legalize marijuana, that's some kind of a solution?
I don't believe that. There's some that do, but I don't believe that. They're already seeing problems in Washington and Colorado with increased traffic accidents from driving impaired due to marijuana. There's long-term chronic health issues for it. There's a number of studies out. There was one that I just saw coming from the American Lung Association on the ailments of lungs for long-term marijuana use, even more so than tobacco use.
But even with all of those arguments, it's still going to get decriminalized.
More than likely. And until then, it's illegal, and we do our best. It's just like there's plenty of people that speed up and down the freeway. It doesn't mean that we don't enforce it. And we don't have enough officers to enforce everybody that's speeding, but we still go out and do the best job we can to help prevent accidents from speeding vehicles.
We have a question in the chat room.
Yes, indeed. A listener wants to know, have you gotten any used military equipment? Apparently, maybe a reference to Ferguson. Who knows?
Yes. Well, not necessarily Ferguson, but there's a program called the 1022 program. And yes, we have gotten used military equipment. That includes everything from search and rescue equipment like sleeping bags, backpacks, fatigues for our SWAT team, Kevlar helmets to protect our officers. And then a few years ago, we got two armored Humvees to replace a vehicle, a surplus vehicle that we had for our SWAT team to transport our SWAT team and protect the members in the bout that they come under fire. And that was used in Anderson at a SWAT operation where the SWAT team did come under fire and had the Humvee and then other armored vehicle there.
Right around the corner from me.
I think when I was first on the council back in the 90s, the city of Reading took advantage of some of that surplus. We got night vision equipment.
You can get some night vis from that as well. It's a great program, and it's a way to use it, and they have it out there. It's generally at no cost except for some transportation, and you can't go and resell it, so you have to demilitarize it or turn it back in when you're done with it. Mm-hmm. So there's some checks and balances for it as well.
Okay. I wanted to ask you about a program. I was reading online the other day that Ventura County's IT department has developed a program called ICOP as an asset to the sheriff's department, deputies, and investigators. It's believed it's the first of its kind in the nation. It's a mobile app that interfaces with the county's criminal justice system, allowing officers to securely search by person, address, vehicles, or tattoos, or mugshots, or whatever, on a secure system. Is that a kind of system that might be worth exploring here, or do you have a similar system?
So the ICOP, it allows the citizens to search it, or it allows the sheriff's deputies and police officers to search it?
Apparently, it's either. Everybody can't search everything, but it was specifically designed for the deputies and investigators.
Right now, we have what we have our Integrated Public Safety System, IPSS, and that is Anderson Police Department, Shasta County Sheriff's Office, and Reading Police Department share data and computer systems, and then we have other users such as other law enforcement, like the district attorney's office, court, and some state agencies. They have access to our records, so they can check that. It can be for criminal backgrounds. It can be for warrants. And now we're right in the process of developing. We're doing demonstrations of different providers so we can upgrade it because it's a huge, it's antiquated. It goes back to the green screen, which is usually you see it on TV back in the 70s and 80s. But we're trying to get upgraded, and that's going to cost $2 or $3 million probably to upgrade that. But we've been on that cutting edge of sharing information for many, many years.
Okay, we're going to take a break right now. When we come back, I'd like to talk about what we're going to do about. I mean, we've got all these issues, and even if we get a lot of cops on the street, we've got to do a bunch of things. But where are we going to lock them up?
That's a good
point. I want to talk about that when we come back. Go to a break.
And this portion of Free Fire Radio is brought to you by Bastiani Arms, located at 2539 Larkspur Lane in Reading. Our firearms dealer of choice for Carl and Linda when it comes to selecting a new long gun or pistol, having a gunsmith work done, or buying ammo, John Bastiani prides himself. John Bastiani prides himself on customer service and always having what the customer needs in stock and at fair prices. Bastiani Arms, 222-8222. It is 71 degrees in Reading. 13 minutes now in front of 9 o'clock, and you're listening to Free Fire Radio. We'll be back. I was left to my own devices. Many days fell away.
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity. For he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Hi, this is Patrick Wallner from Wallner Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, your Barefoot Plumber. Let's talk about water conservation for a moment. With an abundance of lakes, rivers, streams, and creeks, we sometimes forget that we are still in a severe drought. Public and private water districts are now asking for voluntary reduction in water usage, with some districts even charging their customers extremely high prices for using more water than they have historically used over the past few years. Give us a call at 223-5622 or look us up online at wallnerplumbing.com to discuss your water usage and simple ways to help conserve this precious resource.
Hi, this is Zoe from Zoe's Travel Shop in the Mount Shasta Mall.
We're open 7 days a week for all your traveling needs. Make travel fun where you can find items that are safe and fashionable. We carry brands such as Ex Officio, PacSafe, Dakine, Eagle Creek, and Briggs & Riley. That's Zoe's Travel Shop located in the Mount Shasta Mall.
From city streets to country gravel, your fun begins at Zoe's Travel. And don't forget to check us out on Facebook.
Ah yes, this is the life. Sun, surf, sand, living on island time. It's good to take a break. Yeah, maybe someday, but right now, there's work to be done. And if you're a business owner, you know that presenting a professional appearance can make all the difference in the world. That goes double for your office. Usually it's the very first impression people get of your company. Join the dozens of North State businesses that have their commercial spaces professionally cleaned by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. Since 1987, Maui Bob and his team have embraced the Aloha spirit, putting their clients first with an emphasis on customer satisfaction. And who knows, if your business is more successful because your offices reflect that attention to detail that professional office cleaning gives, maybe you will have more time for that island getaway. Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, on the web at MauiBob'sOfficeCleaning.com.
National news with a local view, KCNR, 1460 AM.
It is 8:50 on KCNR, 1460. This portion of the program, as we head into the home stretch, brought to you by Reading Crown Motors. Looking for a new or previously owned car, truck, or SUV? Look no further than Reading Crown Motors, your Ford, Dodge Ram, Lincoln, Nissan, and Honda dealership. Why go any further than 555 Cypress Avenue to make the best deal in the North State on your new vehicle? Not only great deals, but an outstanding service department. Reading Crown Motors, 223-2177. And, Trish, we do have a caller on the line here.
Yes, we do. We have Billy Bob on line one. Let's go to him right away.
Yes, thanks for taking my call. Hey, Sheriff, I got a question. And how can this county, with the short resources we have, afford sworn officers on every high school campus? And can't that be... that security be accomplished with volunteers or something, but I know that there are sworn officers on every campus, and I was just wondering how we can afford those officers being off the beat. Thank you. I'll take my answer off the air.
Thank you, Billy Bob.
Well, Billy Bob, you make a point. However, you're incorrect that there are not officers on every campus in Shasta County. There is an officer, a deputy sheriff, assigned to Foothill High School, and that cost is borne by the high school, and they take budgeted dollars and contract law enforcement with the sheriff's office, and that is the only campus in the county that has a school resource officer paid for. And they interact with crimes that occur on campus, with threats, and do a great job working with the faculty as well. The city of Reading has also school resource officers assigned to Shasta High School and to Enterprise High School and work with it. And they also, those school districts, pay the city of Reading for contracting for those officers as well.
I just read something yesterday or today that Fall River High School just had, or the Fall River Joint Unified School District just had training from some company.
On an active shooter.
Yeah, and... Mm-hmm. Is that a program that the Sheriff's Department can implement in other schools in the county?
They'd have to contract with that company if they wanted to get some training. But we've done some training with the school districts on active shooter and other emergencies on campus. We also, we were one of the first, and we've been modeled many other times across the nation to develop a safe school safety plan. And that was the schools coming together and developing a unified, same safety plan throughout the schools in the county. Because if you're a substitute teacher, maybe three bells ringing was recess, where another three bells in another school was an emergency. So we said, you got to have it uniform, especially for substitute teachers.
Sure.
So we put that in there. We put photographs of the schools, floor plans, eventually put it on CDs, put it into our mobile data computers, put it into our command vehicles, and had also a binder at the schools for an emergency. And then the schools did training and updating that as they make improvements to the schools.
And at one time, I know they were actually going through drills.
That's
for
correct.
Lockdown procedures. Are they still continuing that?
They are. It's mandated now by the schools in addition to their fire drills that they have some lockdown drills as well. It's an unfortunate part of today's society, but you have to be prepared.
How do you feel about somebody in the school having guns?
It's our right under the Second Amendment. If they have the proper training, it can be done. The downside to it is they're in plain clothes. They're not readily identified. So then a uniformed officer or any officer shows up on there, sees an armed person in plain clothes. That could be the shooter, and they could end up killing a friendly person with that. But
if they were to just let you know, it seems to me, now I'm just going to make an observation, that if I'm a bad guy, and I see a sign that says this is a drug-free, gun-free area, I'm a whole lot more apt to go in there than if I see a sign that doesn't say that and or says people in this facility can and probably are armed.
That's been a point made, especially with a lot of these school shootings, and part of it was we need more officers on campus throughout the nation.
Idea that maybe there's a principal in there who's a retired law enforcement person or whatever, as long as he's qualified. You don't know when you walk in the door who's packing that gun. Yeah. I think that's a deterrent.
Some schools, as Billy Bob was speaking about, some schools do have volunteers that do security work, but they're security and eyes and ears, so to speak. They're not armed. They have some limited training on how to deal with it, maybe the upset parent, but not necessarily active shooter or anything like that. That comes at a huge cost. I think after Sandy Hook, there was some estimates. I can't remember how many billions of dollars it would cost to put like an officer in every school throughout the nation, just one officer, and that was huge.
I'm trying to get my brain wrapped around Trish being a bad guy. That was your example, if I'm a bad guy.
Oh, okay. Well, we have a question from the chat room.
Yes, indeed. I'll read this verbatim. Ask him about the phone scam. Two calls I got traced back to a Chico business in the 530 area code, both for singular cell services. I asked because the paper said it was in a different state, and yes, I did report them on Monday. I would assume, of course, that there are more than one group of people
playing
these games.
A lot of times what happens, and that's a good question, even though it comes back to Chico, or we had one come back to the Grass Valley area. Those are what we call burner phones, and it's paid for certain minutes on the phones, and they can get them into different areas.
Ah.
But then if we track back where the calls are actually coming from, we tracked it back to a prison in Georgia. I think it's the something...
I love it.
Something Autry prison.
Rehabilitation, and it's fine.
Well, cell phones in prisons are a big deal in jails. Cell phones bring about $1,000 each in prisons, and shot callers, gang members and stuff, run their businesses with cell phones out of prison. So we're still working on this. The scam goes over, there's a variety of them. You have a warrant out for your arrest, and if you send $1,000, $1,500 or so, we'll take care of that warrant. You could have a traffic ticket. You could have run a red light. We have your picture, and you can settle it for $50 to $100. Those are all the scams. You failed to show up for jury duty, and there's a warrant out for your arrest and resolve it. Then they want you to go and get a prepaid debit card, give them the number over the phone, and then they basically cash that or transfer that number to where it makes it hard to trace. And that's the scam, and then you're out of your money. And
so bottom line, you could just learn that you're not going to get a call from a law enforcement agent for any of the above.
No. Most of the time, if you have a warrant out for your arrest, you'll get a knock on the door. Or when you're pulled over, most people know if they've missed a jury duty or not. Most people know if they have a warrant out for their arrest, or they, hey, I haven't done anything wrong. I don't have a warrant out for my arrest. Bottom line, if they think that it is, they've used the names of our officers, some correct, because you can get that off of the web page information. Bottom line, say, I'll check on it. Call the act. Don't get a phone number from the caller. Call the actual law enforcement agency. There's another scam that you're getting a call from your grandson, granddaughter, or relative, and you're in Mexico and being held in jail, and send us the money and they'll get bailed out. That's another form of that scam, and also a jail in California or another state.
I know for a fact that the only time any real sheriff alleged person calls me, it's because they want me to donate to some sheriff's.
That sounds reasonable.
Peace Officers Association or one of those. But there's some good organizations that
we do put out information. Like if our Peace Officers Association or Deputy Sheriff's Association are doing a fundraiser, we put that information out because people are leery of the scams. I want to know how many tough love hang-ups that these callers get and say, well, that's fine. You can just stay in jail or come and get me. And then they hang up, you know.
And I bet that those outnumber. It's been a pleasure having you here with us this morning, Tom, and talking about things of interest to all of Shasta County. And so this is Trish Clark and Ken Murray this morning. Tomorrow we're going to be joined with Jim Fider. From the Redding Electric Utility?
Well, you dribbled that all down your chin, didn't you?
I had a hard time spitting that out. From the Redding Electric Company.
No, he's retired.
He's retired. Okay. So we thank you for listening to Community Radio. If you miss a day, you miss a lot.
The news is brought to you now on KCNR Shasta Redding by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Top cardiovascular hospital in the nation, Shasta Regional. Treating people well.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. The terrorists who beheaded an American journalist abducted in Syria almost 2 years ago threatened to kill another journalist they're apparently holding. The Islamic State or ISIS group says James Foley was killed in retaliation for U.S. airstrikes in Iraq. Northeastern University professor Max Abrams studies terrorism and terrorist groups.
More and more, I think there's a sense that ISIS's ambitions are very much international.
A horrific video of the beheading surfaced online. There's now a move to take that video down. It's also word just in from the White House. The president will soon be making a statement concerning the brutal killing of James Foley. That statement is expected within the hour. Michael Brown's funeral is scheduled for Monday morning in St. Louis. He's the 18-year-old black man whose fatal shooting by a white police officer triggered days of unrest in Ferguson, Missouri.
Boom.